future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Here's what's been going down in the last 24 hours, and here's what you need to know. F1 team gets sponsor by crypto altcoin. So cryptocurrency venture Futurecoin has announced it signed a two-year deal to partner the Aston Martin Red Bull Racing Formula One F1 team. According to the company's branding, will be featured on the RB15 F1 cars driven by Max Verstappen and Pierre Gasly. And its logo will also be seen on the driver's overalls and on the team transporters. In recent years, the rise of blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies has been truly remarkable, and we're delighted to be on the first Formula One team to embrace this. Through our partnership with Futurecoin, said Aston Martin Red Bull Racing Team Principal Christian Horner, secure digital currencies are on the leading edge of technological development, and we're very excited to be part of this revolution. So here's the deal, right? Like, this partnership is millions of pounds. I'm not sure on the exact figure, but it's not cheap, right? And Futurecoin, if you look them up, have a market cap that hasn't been given any attention to because it's zero, and it has like daily trading volume of a couple of $100,000. Like, who are these guys? Where have they come from? And how have they got an F1 sponsorship? Where have they got the money from? Because guess what? It's definitely not from selling Futurecoin tokens, because no one's buying them. So how does that work? And by the way, if you have a large sum of cash to put towards your project, why didn't you spend it on development of the project, right? Like, what's going on here? Because something smells a little bit fishy. I'm looking up the Futurecoin, the trading ticker for that in CoinMarketCap is FTO. Market cap has a question mark by it. Volume $328,000 in the last 24 hours. From my understanding, it looks like a Polish altcoin, right? And it started trading back in July 2018, something like that, or June 2018. So it's been around just under a year. Very strange, very strange. I have no idea how they got that sponsorship. None. And you'd think as well that Red Bull would be kind of qualifying sponsors, right? Like I would imagine they would have a lot of different people, whether that's be kind of large corporations, funds, whoever, to sponsor such a prestigious team, that there would be a qualifying process, right? Like, I have no idea how these guys got through. It's very, very interesting. And I look forward to kind of finding more about Futurecoin itself. So in other news, we also have Dubai Royals Partners Digital Assets Fund. So Liechtenstein-based cryptocurrency investments fund Inval has been selected as the exclusive international partner for blockchain investments by Dubai Seed Group, owned by the private office of the Sheikh Said bin Ahad Al Maktoum, which is believed to be one of the world's wealthiest royals. Frank Wagner, CEO of the fund, says this represents a seal of approval from an association of elite businesses, minds across the UAE. At Inveo, we have extensive experience, tact, and resources to contribute to the ascent of the UAE as a bona fide world leader in blockchain technology, and look forward to helping the vision to crystallize. Inval's recent activity across the Middle East has shone a light on the region's fertile ground for sustained growth and innovation. I mean, yeah, well, I haven't really seen too many projects coming out of the UAE. So, these guys got funding from the royal family there. So I think they're going to be very kind of, you know, well-spoken and very respectful to the Middle East, the UAE. I haven't seen any projects come out there, but, you know, I'm looking forward to see some innovation come from there. Coinbase also expands PayPal support to Europe. So Coinbase has announced it is extending support for PayPal withdrawals to all its customers in the EU and the European Union free trade association countries, so Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland. Before this move, SEPA and UK faster payments were the only options for European users to withdraw fiat funds from the platform. As one of the world's easiest and most widely used payment platforms, adding PayPal as a withdrawal option for European customers offers another great option for withdrawing their funds, commented Coinbase Alan Ozogood. So that's interesting. Facebook takes over blockchain development team. So this is another great bit of news here. Facebook has reportedly hired the team behind Chainspace, a blockchain startup founded by researchers from the University College London, to develop a planetary scale smart contract platform. Four of the five researchers behind the project's white paper are joining Facebook's blockchain division, and people familiar with the startup told Cheddar that Chainspace will shut down now as the social networking giant has taken over most of its developers. A Facebook spokesperson confirmed to the media site the company had hired people from Chainspace but refused to provide further details. Interesting. We've also had Mark Zuckerberg kind of using, well, talking openly about the power of centralized systems using encryption and cryptocurrency as well. So, you know, Facebook, it's been rumored for a while now, I've had a team working upon this, but this is the first time they've actually gone out to the blockchain community and hired in such an aggressive manner. All right, so I want to talk about private versus public protocols, the different blockchains that are currently out there and going on. So with that in mind, let's jump into it. All right, let's kick it off. So let's talk about scaling. So scaling private ledgers versus public blockchains. So there's a funny way that the proprietary nature of permission blockchains acts as a kind of limiting factor on the creativity of solutions offered. In the same way that a market with fewer participants and fewer liquidity is less likely to result in an optimal allocation of resources, since fewer parallel options are being tried out at once, and the cycle time for whether an idea is working is no longer the evaluated when compared to public blockchains, when often have liquidity that react with ever-increasing precision to impactful news. So simultaneously, the universal public blockchains competing against each other for capital and attention, compromising myriad variations on technical parameters, governance solutions, on and off chain, consensus mechanisms, tokenomics, consumer adoption pathways, and methods for incentivizing dApp developers, just to name a few factors. In contrast, your typical permission private ledger, while having the benefit of capital, likely has a set roadmap that's inflexible and limited in degree of technical freedom, or depending on the protocol itself. But I think what's really interesting here is that, you know, it's increasingly unlikely that the relatively fewer private permission platforms can compete with public protocols and platforms in any way, shape, or form. But permissionless blockchains over the long term, despite potentially being better mousetraps in the near term, for example, R3 testing out proof of concept using Swift's GPI platform, or Austinbull using Ripple. However, the long term success is going to be a public protocol, and the reason why is because everyone has the ability to add on to it. Everyone has the ability to add to the underlying protocol. Someone in India or Mumbai that's the age of eight years old who has a great understanding of C++ can add to a protocol, right? Like, everyone has the ability to do that. And if you look back in the 90s, you had the intranet and you had the internet. The intranet was a private internet that still to this day is used to some degree within big corporations. And you have the internet. Now, I don't know about you, but on a day-to-day basis, I do not interact with the intranet. I just don't. It doesn't come into my sphere. And I had no idea it even existed until I started researching this. Now, on my daily basis, or in my daily schedule, my daily routine, I find it pretty hard not to interact with the internet in one way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? Like, you try it for a day. All my emails, all my calendars, notifications, whatever it may be, is linked to the internet some way, shape, or form, which is great. It makes my life easy, and it's a great innovation. But if you look at the way that's handled, why is the internet embedded into everyday lives? Well, usability, right? It's easy to use, super easy. In fact, it's harder to use traditional methods than it is to use online methods if you have a reasonable understanding of it. You have to look into why is that? Well, it's from years of development that everyone from all around the world has added to, that's made it the user-friendly system that it is to today, right? lots of different companies, lots of different people. Like, people have been building and creating upon this to make the user experience the way it is today. And that's going to be the same with different public protocols that are out there, right? Like, they're going to be built upon, they're going to grow, the developers are going to grow, the community is going to grow, it's going to keep building and building and building until it's embedded into, you know, the value-added applications that it should be. And it'll be such a seamless experience, you won't even know that you're connecting to blockchain or using one of the many benefits that it offers, right? So that's, I think that's something that you have to point out when discussing private versus public protocols. Now, private protocols have a place within banks or bank to bank, but if you really look at what a private protocol is, you're probably better off using, you know, a permission database. Like, if you really want to look into that, it's probably cheaper to use a permission database. So, you know, but then again, there's many benefits that blockchain brings to the party. And I think that's what a lot of banks, you know, the JP Morgans, the and some of the other banks that are testing this out. You know, IBM's trying to create a lot of different solutions for banks in the minute as well. So I think people are really trying to get their heads around it, see if there's any value there for any users. But it's a really interesting time at the minute. People are testing, people are growing, people are, you know, dipping their toe in the water. People are looking to find out more. Is this a good fit? You know, the use case of blockchain are absolute. You know, we've had everyone from around the world confirm that, right? When you look at governments, you look at big corporations, if you look at big banks, everyone has confirmed that. Now it's about enhancing the underlying technology to be the best it can be. And that's why the community is so important and vital to the underlying growth of any protocol out there. And that's why private protocols are going to struggle with innovation, not the same way that public protocols do not, right? Like, public protocols are not struggling with innovation. They're growing day by day. Look at EOS, launched in 6 months, already at thousands of transactions per second. Huge accomplishments, keeps on growing day after day because people are testing new things. People are pushing the boundaries and the marks to where it should be and where it can potentially be. Because it's, you know, with what we're seeing now with regards to price action in the market, if you look at, you know, a lot of the prices and, you know, I don't want to name any projects, but I know a lot of projects that had $1 billion market cap last year. You know, I looked at some of them today, $50 million market cap now, right? Why have they dropped the way they have? Well, people fell in love with the potential of the project compared to where they are now. And the price action side of it, yeah, I understand why it's gone down. But the potential of this technology is so powerful. It's so exciting. And that's why we have more and more people wanting to work within the blockchain space and more people spending and giving their time to grow and learn and be part of this ever-growing community. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. If you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. You know it makes sense. We appreciate and we're blown away day after day by all the subscribers and all the new listeners we have to the show. If you have any questions or queries, feel free to reach out to myself. My email is cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. That's a wrap.